Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Now, in for Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Scafidi. I'm gonna make this place yours.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Upswing. Jeff is off today, so I'm Steve Scafidi filling in for him. And you're going to have a familiar voice in studio with me. He's always got his camera going when he's in studio.
It's got to be weird when I'm not recording it.
No, I don't want to be recorded ever, so for me it's not a big deal.
Can I just say...
You can say whatever you want.
Sure.
Almost.
They've replaced the chair that I sit in with, I'm assuming, a brand new one.
Oh.
Previously, like, the left arm would just... It almost... would completely fall off. It was infuriating. So I would swap it out every time I come to the studio with one that wasn't messed up. And then I'd come in, you know, the following week, and then that same chair would be in the same spot.
No, that's why some of these chairs are being replaced, because for some reason people have this habit of pushing off the left armrest.
I just can't imagine
and it breaks.
Being on the air and like just leaning back like I'm watching a movie.
So if you listen to Jeff's show, The Upswing, he likes to talk about the future.
Sure.
And you guys do a show... Every Thursday,
10 a.m.
Yeah, and you joined him early yesterday.
Yep.
For the folks who don't recognize your voice, Martin Moore, tell your story quickly, because I know you have a great story.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Worked on cars for 20 years. Started a YouTube channel. Now I work for Cost, shooting commercials, making content, taking photos.
Photographer.
Been on 620 for about 5 years.
Yeah, you've done everything here. All
podcasts,
the shows.
Had a new podcast episode drop yesterday. It was pretty good.
Right.
I dabble in a lot of little things. Used to be a magician. For quite some time.
How did I not know that?
You didn't know that?
I don't
From when so. I was about 7 till I was 17, I did magic. And this isn't your uncle's like garbage magic at Thanksgiving. This is like the real deal, floating people, cutting people in half. I was on TV or basic cable back in, you know, the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. And I'm still really good at it, especially if I have a bourbon in me.
All right. So even though I'm an old guy, I love talking about the future and technology and stuff. And that's, you know, where you and I first started doing radio together. You were my technology guy.
Yep.
But we're going to focus on a couple of things. In the second half of the hour, we're going to talk about the future of social media, TikTok. Of course, the big news of the president has signed an eventual ban or sale of TikTok from the people in China who own it currently.
ByteDance,
yeah. And what that means, there's a 9-month window where ByteDance could sell it to a U.S. company and avoid a ban.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in courts. And one of the questions a lot of people were asking last night on media is, how long does this play out in the courts? And I think the answer, given some of the things I talked about in my show today, it could be a while.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the court moves slow. Justice moves very slow. But we're going to start with this one. So, being a older American, I pay attention to trends and information. And one of the things that's concerning, I'm just going to give you this banner headline. By 2030, so roughly 6 years from now, our nation will have a shortage in accessible and affordable housing to meet the needs of 1 in 5 Americans who are going to be over the age of 65.
I believe it.
All right. So here's some of the areas that are concerning. Advances in technology, changing the way housing is produced. That could be a plus or a minus. Affordability gaps, right? Rising housing costs, stagnant wages, or no wage growth at all, or decline, growing income. That's plus and minus as well. Changing demographics. Americans are living longer, staying in their homes longer, looking for alternatives to where they live now, selling their homes. Environmental conditions. Mm. Rising sea level, if you believe in all of that.
Oh, yeah. Norfolk, Virginia. If you live there, you may not have a house.
This is a big one. This is probably the biggest one. Maybe we'll start with this. Supply mismatch, right?
Yeah.
People looking for whatever, a single family home, a rental, a condo, which is something we're going to focus on.
Me and my wife.
Specifically. Are you looking for a condo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another one that not on that list, interest rates, makes it very, very difficult.
Over 6 or 7% now.
Right.
Most of us who have mortgages and we refinance or finance in the era of -3.
Right.
You know,
unlike my parents who had 15% interest
rate. Going back to the 70s, that was a period of really high inflation and really high interest rates. And the last one is systemic barriers. People of color, those with disabilities, struggling to find the housing situation that meets their needs. So. Let's focus on condos first. We are broadcasting from Milwaukee. We live in the Milwaukee area. I can tell you, just from a former mayor perspective and a radio host perspective, there's a shortage of condos.
Big time. Me and my wife have been looking for a condo for almost a decade. And I think, what was it, the last condo that they built downtown was in 2012, the Modern, which is mixed. It's like
it's mixed condo now. Yeah, I think the original proposal was
everything
for just condos.
Everything has been luxury apartments since then. You know, that passive income is what these real estate companies want.
Well, I mean, people ask me this all the time because, you know, when I was a mayor, we built a lot of apartment complexes, right? There was no city money involved. It was instant tax revenue for the city.
Yep.
And there was a demand for it. That demand continues. So you're a younger person.
God bless you.
Relatively speaking. So there seems to be, on the demand side, a desire to rent versus own.
I don't get the renting part. I get it's the renting a $3,000-$5,000 a month apartment. That's what I don't understand, that there's that many people out there not only that have that sort of income and ability to pay that much a month for rent but want to.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, it's probably your only option. I mean, a lot of us, I mean, I'm downtown every single day. You know, I work downtown. I play downtown. I go to Bucks games. Everything I do is downtown, and that's why I want to live here. And so if your only option is to rent, what's basically happening is these companies, these real estate companies, they're creating a problem and then selling you the solution. You know, like people want to come downtown to work, to play, to entertain, and to live their lives. But if there's nowhere for you to live and renting is your only option, it's what you do. That's why you see in New York City, there's so many people rent apartments.
All right, I'm gonna take a break, but after the break, I want to talk about this because I think there's a reason why renting is so desirable now.
I have a thesis on that, too.
All right, so we'll chew that one over. Martin Moore, my guest, Steve Scavitti filling in for Jeff Sherman on The Upswing right here in WTMJ. Who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ, and yours truly, highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year. Through my salute to service presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited, you can nominate your favorite first responder now at WTMJ.com. Just click on the banner. Just went on the website this morning. Easy to find right at the top or on the WTMJ mobile app. Nomination period is open now through May 10th. Somebody was asking me, can I send it in now? Yes, send those nominations in now. My producer Charlie and I will review them. We'll pick the best five. Finalists will be recognized during our Hero Week, May 20th through May 24th. Help us tell those stories. It's Steve Scafidi's yours truly, Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I always enjoy this time of year, and that's one of the principal reasons. The other one is I love getting outside, enjoying the nice weather, which is something I'm gonna ask you about. So. You said you're looking for a condo. You're a young person. How old are you?
43 years old.
You look about...
If you consider that young, I will take it.
And you look about 33, so God if that means you. Anything for you. I have a theory about why people are desiring renting now. And that is not an arguable point. People are looking to rent.
Yep.
Doesn't mean there's not an interest in condos. A lot of people my age are looking... They want to still own, but they want to have a condo.
Yeah.
The supply is the issue there, right? Demand is high, supply is low. But on the rental side... Plenty of places to rent. My argument would be, this is a generational argument, younger people, and you can classify that however you want, 25 to
43.
43. You just made it. I would argue they're less interested in shoveling snow, cutting grass, yep. landscaping, doing all the things,
yep.
fixing minor electrical problems in their house, putting new lights in, like yep. which I just did this weekend. They're less interested in that.
You just ticked every box that why I don't want to own my house anymore.
So, why do you think that is? Why is there a generational difference?
I think because when you look at people in their 20s and 30s in 2024, they are, in my opinion, have far busier lives day to day than maybe individuals and families did back in the 60s and 70s. And what I mean by that is there's this rat race that sort of exists now that didn't exist back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Back then, it was, for the most part, you know, mom stayed at home, raised the kids, cooked dinner, dad went out, did his 9-to-5, came home, repeat, repeat, repeat. Well, now, you know, there's so many people that are trying to, you know, the gig economy, trying to start their own business, entrepreneurship. People are, you know, there's people like me that had side hustles that are doing photography or making content. And whatever it is, I feel like people are far, far busier, whether it's by choice or by necessity, now in this current generation than they were. And so the idea of being part of that rat race and being so busy and then coming home and getting mulch and mowing your lawn and picking weeds and you know, fixing electrical problems, it's just something I personally don't have the time for. I think a lot of people don't have the time for it because all of their personal time is dedicated to so many other things. And then you couple that with, for the most part, families, mom and dad both work now. You know, it's not like, for the most part, mom or dad stays at home. And so people are just busy with life.
So...
Because that's why condos are. That's my long rant.
So because this topic is future of housing,
sure.
I've got an answer to a possible solution.
Hmm.
And you alluded to it before during the break. We were talking about like tiny houses.
Yep.
I said at some point I'd love to have, like, just drop a tiny house on some property somewhere and just do what I want with it. And I don't have to build it. It just drops into my property and I can landscape around if I want. But here's how I think you address some of this. You allow people to start getting into what I call starter homes.
Yes.
1,300 square feet, 1,400 square feet.
Not $400,000.
No, probably in the $200,000
range. God, even that seems like crazy.
Maybe $150,000.
Yeah.
Very tiny lots. Their properties are part of small neighborhoods where, this is the kicker, their plowing is done for them, their shoveling is done for them, their grass cutting is done for them. They're just in that lower cost home in a small, you know, tiny house, tiny neighborhood.
Absolutely.
I think that could work.
It's kind of like the version of a lot of the larger communities you'll see in like River West and stuff, where like you have HOAs and you know, you pay some people to do some of that stuff. I think it's a great idea. Another issue that we have too is there are a lot of affordable houses in condos downtown, but you're having companies, you know, from China and stuff, who are turning them into Airbnbs. You know, you look at a state like Hawaii, and they're putting a ban on Airbnbs because there's such a housing shortage for people. You want to get your first home. There's not even anything out there to buy because everything that is out there, you have people buying them and Airbnb-ing them. So I think you have a bunch of individual problems that are really kind of cultivating into a housing and condo shortage. It's going to be interesting to see how we figure that out and navigate that going into the future.
Yeah, well, ultimately, I think they will build more condos.
I hope so.
But it has to make sense. And if you're going to slap a condo together or a condo complex where your cost is $400,000 or $600,000, your audience is going to be limited, I would argue.
Absolutely. And then you think about, too, a lot of kids are coming out of college with this massive student loan debt that's equal to or even more than their first home. And so now you're asking people, back in your day, college, you didn't come out of college with $150,000, $200,000 worth of debt. You're asking people to, at 30, you know, 35 years old, buy this $300,000-$400,000 house and pay off your $150,000, $200,000 student loan. That's another problem and issue right there. People might not even have the money for a condo or a house.
I mentioned the housing shortage. There's a 2.5 million unit gap between demand and supply.
I feel
that's
it.
Right now.
I feel it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So let me ask a personal question. You're looking for a condo.
Yeah.
Walk me through what are you looking at? Where are you looking at? How is the process going?
I mean, I want anything downtown that's going to be walkable to, obviously, Third Street Market would be nice so I could just walk to the radio show. Pfizer Forum, I'm a season ticket holder for the Bucks.
Public market, number one in the country.
But for me, I mean, I want something 10th floor or above. I don't want to hear Harley Davidson zipping by. I don't want to hear people, nice view. But things you don't think about, like how do I get rid of my garbage and what does parking look like? But my biggest issue has been everything we have looked at and that's been available has been straight out of like 2004. I'm talking about the two-tiered island that needs to be gutted, the blonde floors and cabinets, just completely dated. And so the idea of spending that kind of money and then gutting a condo is like.
Martin Moore, my guest on The Upswing, he's graffiti filling for Jeff Sherman, who's off for a couple of days. I'll be back tomorrow as well in the 10 o'clock hour. I want to throw this at you before the break. You can think about it. You can ponder it in your very smart head. You said it was people were so busy. Texter said it's laziness.
Oh.
We'll discuss in debates after this on The Upswing. Steve's committee filling in for Jeff Sherman on The Upswing on this Thursday edition. I will be back tomorrow, both in the 9 o'clock hour with Bill and Joseph Pecky, Bill McCoshin, the Political Power Hour. And then a special edition of Upswing tomorrow, my friend, my pal, Chef Michael Fecker. We're going to have fun.
Oh, nice.
Grilling. Mm. It's a Friday. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like tomorrow, but I don't care. It's
hopefully fantastic.
I grilled outside on the weekend, and I'm ready for that time.
Steve, Wisconsinites grill when it's like 30 degrees out.
All right, so I asked you the lazy question before the break. Is it laziness that young people are making the decision, I don't want to buy. I don't want to own a home. I got to take care of. I just want to rent.
True.
Is it laziness?
I don't know. I mean, there's no more laziness now than there was in the previous generation, the generation before that, the generation before that. I do. I believe life is just busier. There's more things that are affecting your free time than ever. And you can say that about the generation before me and the generation before that and the generation
we
before that.
We always criticize the other generation.
There's a compounding interest on the thing that the time sucks that we have in our life as the decades and the centuries go on. And I believe that's a lot of it. Are there also lazy people? Sure. Yeah.
Look, we're building less neighborhoods.
Yep.
We have been for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Condo supply is extremely low. And when you and I were talking during the break, corporations and real estate investors, they're buying up a lot of the homes that are available,
yes,
especially in low-income neighborhoods. And they're basically turning them into rentals or being Airbnb properties.
Yep.
That's a problem when you're talking about supply.
Big time.
And with this really big demand when it comes to housing.
What was that stat that you were telling me on the before the break? Was it like
one of the markets, like 93% of the new homes or the homes that were available were bought up by these companies?
That's insane. I don't understand how local governments can
allow that. That doesn't leave much supply.
It leaves you 10%.
All right, so you're not buying the lazy argument.
No.
You hesitated for a second.
I mean, I don't know. People are busy.
All right, because it's the future of, after the break, future of social media, TikTok. President signed legislation.
Yes.
There's like a ban, potentially, or a sale. What that means for other social media. I know you're very active. You're a Twitter guy.
That's
as
what they
I
say.
And I don't know if you know this, but I refuse to call it X now. That's my stand.
I feel it's weird if people do call it X.
Yeah, so that is now going to be Twitter for me. I'm not going to say the X thing. Maybe I'll get yelled at by my bosses. I don't care.
No.
Well, I do care, but I'm going
to still
Twitter
call it
to Twitter. It's Twitter to us. Right? That's what it's going to be. So we're gonna dig into the future of social media and all that means after the next break for news. We're going to have some local news with Eric Bilstead. Don't miss this conversation. Martin Moore joining me in studio. You've been here 2 days in a row.
I have, haven't I?
That's almost too much.
My entire week
too much, Martin, some people
would say. My entire week has been thrown off.
All right, ABC News is next. Steve's Committee filling in for Jeff Sherman on the upswing on this Thursday edition. I'll be back tomorrow as well with a special guest, Chef Michael Fecker in studio. Always crazy when Chef Fecker comes to town. It is going to be a good one. Martin Moore joining me today. He was here yesterday as well. All right. Social media.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what we were talking about.
You forgot in six minutes?
I zone out sometimes in the commercials. That's what the kids call it, zoning out.
Snap out of it, as they say in the movies. All right. So, TikTok. I am not a fan of TikTok.
Me neither.
All right. But you use it.
No.
You don't use it at all.
I just said I don't like it.
Okay. I don't like it for a lot of reasons. One, I think there's too much nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that I see the commercials running now, like farmers are using it and pharmacists are using it. And there's a lot of legitimate stuff, but there's a lot of nonsense. I'm of the mindset that there's too much nonsense in our world already.
That's an understatement.
And social media is a big supplier of, my opinion, nonsense. Now, it's been around since 2017. It's owned by ByteDance, Chinese company. Yesterday, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, signed a bill which basically says, here's your options. Sell it or we're going to ban it. Now, there's various levels of how that might work. They can, it's 6 months, then it goes to 9 months, 12 months. There's some time here.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that say, it doesn't matter. Someone else is going to buy it. They're still going to utilize the same things that ByteDance utilizes, which the algorithms, which capture information.
Yes.
Now, many congressmen that I've talked to or I've read about on this issue basically said, if the algorithms come with it, you've accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
You buy that?
Yeah. I mean, from what I can tell, the sale is predicated on the algorithm doesn't come with it.
That's what it's supposed to do, yes.
Yeah, which makes it useless. It makes it invaluable. Why would I buy? That's like buying Coca-Cola without their recipe, or the, you know, McDonald's, whatever, their burger without their secret sauce. Like, it's nobody's going to buy it. So it's not going to get sold or bought.
If we're talking about the future of social media, which is sort of the theme of this show, the future of everything, right? Okay, so a world without TikTok, I wouldn't miss it.
That sounds lovely.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
But yet I have people all the time say, oh my God, we got to have TikTok. You got to be on TikTok. Why are you not on TikTok?
Here's the thing about social media. It's like anything else. It's like you ever have someone that's like, oh, you need to watch this Marvel movie or you need to watch this TV show on Netflix. And then you watch it and you're like, I don't get it. Different strokes for different folks. Everyone has their particular brand of vodka they like. For me, TikTok ain't it. There's a lot of people that don't like Twitter. They don't get it. They hate Elon Musk, whatever. They don't want to use it. They don't understand why I'm on Twitter. I don't like TikTok for myriad reasons that we can get into or not. But it's a thing that people use. It's a service and an app that companies use to promote themselves. There's a lot of people that have made businesses, and I have friends who do it for a living that have made careers off of it. So to simply just say, get rid of it, we're not going to be missing anything, I think is a lacks a lot of nuance and isn't really looking into the deeper issues that could come out of it being banned, because there's a lot of things that it provides for people.
Here's the hard numbers. 170 million Americans utilize TikTok.
It's huge.
One third of young people get their news from TikTok. Now, I would argue it's fake news and a lot of nonsense, as I said earlier. This is according to the Pew Research Center, so take it for what it's worth. That's a big number of people. Those young people are going to be older adults at some point, mm-hmm. and if they start their, what I call the infrastructure of experience and knowledge with fake news, I'm not confident that later on in life they're going to be any smarter than they are.
But that already happened with adults on Facebook, and was it the 2016 election?
Did it, though? Was Facebook the same thing in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, was it 2016, 2020, whatever that election was, Facebook was just pumped with all kinds of fake news and articles, and they were using the algorithm to sort of create echo chambers for people and manipulate the way people's feeds. Look, that's stuff that's been happening for years and years and years. Not just on TikTok, but on every other social media platform. Elon Musk exposed all that stuff on Twitter. So it's been happening. It's not like TikTok's some anomaly where that kind of stuff is happening. It's been happening on every social media platform.
Since we're talking about the future of a texture says, FYI, a new extension of Twitter X is coming soon, going to be a YouTube TV competitor for streaming long videos to phones, tablets, PCs, and TVs.
If I can watch it on my TV, I'm game for it, but I'm not watching anything more than 2 minutes on TikTok.
Look, my phone. I was a guy that had traditional cable TV for a long time, right?
Sure.
And I finally cut the cord a few years ago. I absolutely love smart TV.
Yeah.
Because I choose.
Yep.
It's significantly cheaper, like one third the cost. Is it perfect? No. What is?
Yeah.
Cable goes out, streaming services go out. I would argue it's probably even more dependable than the traditional cable because power outages happen all the time. I just had one recently in Oak Creek. So I embrace technology. I don't necessarily need more technology or layers and layers of technology that are essentially providing the same thing.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what social media is, right? We have all these different versions. And the cool thing about this is, and we'll talk about this after the break, which is coming up. Generationally, it was MySpace.
Friendster. MySpace.
Friendster, and then it was Facebook. Then young people said, I'm getting off that. That's for old people. Yeah. And they got off of that, and then they went to Twitter. Now they're on
Snapchat.
Yeah, now they're on
young people today, TikTok. That's how they text, is Snapchat. They don't text.
The future of everything with Martin Moore, a special bonus edition with yours truly on the Thursday edition of The Upswing, WTMJ. Thanks for joining me. Steve Scafidi on The Upswing, filling in for Jeff Sherman, who's off for a couple days. I'll be back tomorrow with Chef Michael Fecker. Mark it in your calendars, 10 o'clock hour. Don't forget about the Political Power Hour, which I'm the host of as well, 9 to 10, Joseph Pecky, Bill McCoshin. We got some stuff to talk about this week. My goodness. All right. Since it's the future of everything, Texter reminded us about next-gen TV. So it's technically called ATSC 3.0 or next-gen TV. Here's the requirements. You have to have a next-gen TV and a HD antenna. But I think it's already active in Green Bay. It's under construction in Milwaukee. It allows local stations to sort of tap into some of those streaming services over the air internet. That's really the future, I think, for people that are just kind of sick and tired of all the other streaming services.
Totally.
Now, what's the big factor? Cost. What's that going to cost?
I haven't even heard of it, but I really, really like it. You know, and it's a conversation I didn't even think about. You know, all these local companies, over-the-air companies, not everybody can afford Hulu and Disney Plus and Netflix and YouTube Premium and Amazon Prime. A lot of people just rely on over-the-air to get their news and their entertainment. And so I didn't even think about how they get into the game.
So here's some of the specs, some of the enhancements that come with next-gen TV. Better picture and sound quality. So that's cool. 4K UHD video, HDR technology for more details, contrast, color.
Ooh.
I mean, how good can it get?
Right.
I mean, you look at a TV now, it's like, I'm like there.
Yeah.
I'm on the golf course with those golfers. Something they call immersive audio, three-dimensional and engaging sound experience, perfect audio quality. who doesn't like that? Hybrid broadcast broadband. That's a broadband piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can allow the integration of over-the-air broadcasting with broadband internet.
I like
that. That's a big deal, especially for areas that are served by local stations but don't have necessarily the ability to capture broadband.
Well, exactly. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you're getting on these streaming services and, you know, the internet is they have a lot of bandwidth to supply that sort of sound and the image and all of that stuff in the HDR. That's data that can only transfer so fast over an old school antenna. And so that's super interesting. I like that.
If someone has bought one of these, because like I said, it's active in the Green Bay area, apparently, send us a text, 855-616-1161.
They might be busy with the draft in Green Bay.
Big draft tonight, yeah. I know you're a sports fan. I know you're a Bucks fan. You probably took that loss on Tuesday. Hard.
I did, but the Boston lost last night to Miami, so
everybody's
I'm
fallible.
Feeling slightly better. Not that that has anything to do with the Bucks, but it does make me feel better that you know, not every team's going to go 16-0 in the playoffs.
So. All right, because I want to put a cap on our TikTok social media conversation real quick, because we only got about 45 seconds before the break. Do you think in 1 year TikTok will be sold and or banned?
Oh, man, and it's an either or. Honestly, I think banned, probably. I just don't see anyone buying it. So I think it's probably going to be banned. If I had to guess...
I say not banned. I say sold, because 170 million users.
They're never going to sell it.
Mm.
They're never going to sell it. Not that they're never going to sell it. No one's going to buy it. No one's going to want it without the algorithm.
All right. He's Martin Moore. I'm Steve Scafidi. It's The Upswing. We'll take one final break, and then we'll have our closing thoughts before we get to Brewers baseball after this. Thanks for listening to my version of The Upswing. Jeff Sherman off for a couple days. I'm filling in today and tomorrow. So tomorrow, my Upswing guest, Chef Michael Fecker, who's fun as heck to listen to and fun to hang out with. And we're going to talk about grilling. It's grilling season.
Is he the one that I was on your show earlier this year?
Yes.
He's the one that was on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. And as luck would have it, we were both in Italy at the same time last year on separate trips.
Are you serious?
And we're going back and forth. And his restaurant that I go to a lot is Il Mito in Wauwatosa. If you haven't been, it's fantastic. So we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff. We're going to entertain your questions. It's going to be kind of a different Friday feel for The Upswing, but I'm looking forward to it. All right, closing thoughts. We started with the future of housing and then the future of social media, TikTok. We only got a couple minutes here. Let's do housing first. My thought is, we have to transform the idea of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Everybody's been building these grand castles. We got to downsize. We got to make that be affordable for people and builders and communities. If we can figure that out, we got a great potential for housing in this country.
I mean, I see some of these new, you know, neighborhoods and subdivisions that they build, and they're building 4,000 or 5,000 square foot houses on these huge 1-2 acre lots.
With two people living in them.
I live in Glendale. You come to my neighborhood, and I got like a quarter or an eighth of an acre. I mean, our house, there's probably, I look at my brother-in-law's house in La Crosse. You know, I get it. It's La Crosse. Like, nobody lives up there. His lot and house, you could probably fit my whole block on and fit probably 24 houses on. And so getting back to that sort of, you know, post-World War II housing boom, where let's just build these, you know, houses that are enough room for a family and get people an opportunity and access to owning. Owning's huge. Renting, you're just throwing your money away.
Here's what any community planner will tell you makes sense. Density, right?
Mm-hmm.
People will shop in your community. They'll stay local. You'll have a great interest in your local economy. You just have to figure out the nuts and bolts of doing that. All right, quickly, let's shift the future of TikTok and social media. I've said it before. I think TikTok will survive in some form. You said it's going to be banned. That's a game changer, because, as I said, 1 in 3 young people get their news from TikTok.
Wow.
I guess my question for you is, where are they getting their news from?
The same place all adults get it from. You know how many people get their news from Facebook and Twitter? And everybody gets their news from the headline, the clickbait headline on social media. Whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, doesn't matter. We're all not getting the best news sources.
You're 43.
Yes.
I'm 65.
Sure.
Do you think your generation is better informed than my generation was when I was your age?
Better informed? No.
No.
Absolutely not. We're way more ill-informed.
And you blame that on social media?
Yeah. I blame a lot of things on social media.
Well, how do we fix
that? The news being the least of the problems.
How do we fix that?
Steve, if I had that answer, world hunger would be solved. There'd be a lot of problems solved.
Put that question in your noggin because it's the future of question mark. That's something you're going to have to figure out.
Yeah.
Martin Moore has.
Why do
been,
I have to figure it out?
Because you're
I'm just the dude on the radio that makes YouTube videos.